Good evening. Welcome to Sacred Space. Well, okay, talk right here.
Please pray with me. God of compassion, you join us on the journey. Refresh us with your words that we might serve the world, bandaging wounds and mending broken hearts in the spirit of our traveling companion, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. At this time, I invite the little children to come forward. And children, you can bring your grown-ups if you like. If you consider yourself a child, if you wish you were a child, if someone tells you that you act like a child, you are also welcome to come forward, to come forward, to come forward, and gather round, gather round. This is my dinner pot. I just had supper a couple hours ago, and I am hungry already. Is there anything in there? No. Except for, well, why didn't you get the spoon out? Because a spoon won't do us any good at all, will it? Lift it up high. Let's make my favorite dish. Some of the grown-ups know this recipe. It is called stone soup. Okay, do you see that there's a stone down there?
Can you put that in?
Can you put the stone carefully into the bottom of the pot and give it a good stir?
I don't think we can stir that.
Okay, let's just pretend we're stirring it. And let's put some pretend water in and let's fill up that pot. We just got wet, didn't we? Lots of water. How's it tasting, folks?
Fine.
It tastes like a rock. Like a melted rock. If only I had a potato.
I have a potato.
cabbage.
You have a cabbage?
You have a cabbage! Woo! Ralph, that's not a cabbage. Of corn for my soup.
I've got some corn.
You got some corn! Woo! It's crocheted corn. Go ahead, stir it up! Stir it up! Okay, yum, 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 yum. If only. Does it? Yum, yum! If only I had a carrot! Are we fresh out of carrots? Where's my apple?
A carrot!
A carrot! Missing something. Let me have a sniff. Salt and pepper. Throw some love in there too. If only we had an onion for our soup.
Now, I bet someone here has an onion.
Generous and some of the people were not so generous. And some of the people even brought things that weren't asked for, and sometimes we had extras. Sometimes we are generous, aren't we? And sometimes we're selfish, aren't we? And that's the way that we are. But we know that when we are generous, things go better, don't they? We're almost done.
Ow! My ears!
When we are generous, things go better, and we are a blessing to the world.
Can I try?
All right. Will you pray with me?
Sure.
Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us enough and more than enough always. For putting your spirit of generosity into us and making us a blessing to the world. Okay, amen. Go in peace. Can you help the ushers move this pot? Can you each take a vegetable or a spoon or a stone and put them over there? Thank you. Follow Kathy. Follow Kathy. I invite you to rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Hear the good news according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down. About 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. What do you think? When a grain of wheat falls into the earth and the next year rises up as stalk and head and then full grain in the head and returns a yield of 30 or 60 or 100 fold, is that an ordinary thing or an extraordinary thing? What do you think when you hear the morning cry of a child? Is that a natural process or a miracle? What do you think? If God, our creator, in divine wisdom, chose to order creation out of chaos some 13.77 billion years ago, plus or minus 40 million years, is that any more or less of a miracle than if everything came about by the Spirit of God breathed over 6 literal days, 6,000 years ago? Where is the dividing line between things that are natural and things that are supernatural? Is there a dividing line? Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 tiny fish. Is that a miracle? Does that matter? If you are a person who takes Scripture seriously, if you're a person who affirms that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, you will ask questions like this, no matter what your confirmation teacher told you. If you affirm that Jesus is risen from among the dead, you admit the possibility of the supernatural. But even if you admit the possibility of miracles, does it follow that this story of 5,000 bellies being filled must be a miracle? When I was in school studying the Gospel of John, the professor assigned only 2 texts, a Greek New Testament and a book by a man called John Caputo, and the name of the book was The Weakness of God. Even before I opened up the course syllabus, I was already perplexed and scared and very, very suspicious. I was quite certain I hadn't signed up for this and that I didn't want to learn about any weak God.
I like my deity like I like my coffee, that is nice and strong. I want the God who knocks my socks off with new wonders at the break of each day. And if it's not too much trouble, I'd like a God who makes each day just a little bit more spectacular than the last. And I want a strong God who swats my enemies away, just as if they were biting flies up on the trail. I want the God who surprises and delights. I want a powerful God to watch over me and protect me, a superhero with superpowers, because I am weak, and because the world is a scary place. In other words, I want the God who multiplies bread miraculously. Just as miraculously as the waitstaff at the local Olive Garden restaurant who provide me with that mysterious bottomless basket of breadsticks. You know what I'm talking about, right? The more breadsticks you eat, the more breadsticks show up. That, dearly beloved, is the closest thing you will see to a miraculous multiplication this side of heaven. That's how I imagine the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, and that's how I want it to be. I want it to be a miracle and not just some ordinary thing. I want something supernatural. That's how I want to hear the beginning of the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Some people hear the story differently, though. Some people say that the Good Shepherd, after he made those 5,000 sheep sit down in those very green pastures, that those people looked around and they saw that there was only one barley loaf for each 1,000 of them, and they knew that it wasn't enough. And they looked around and for some strange reason, they were moved to generosity and inspired to make a place at the table for everyone. For everyone born, right? They were moved to open up their backpacks and pull out their pita and their pão de queijo and their pumpernickel and pass it around. And that through a process as common and mundane and natural as any ordinary Lutheran potluck, everyone was fed. And that afterwards, those good and faithful saints, those disciples known as LCBWs, Lutheran Church Basement Women, they're in the gospel too. Did you see them? Came around and packed up the leftovers for another day. And that Jesus, in this version, just stood around being Jesus, smiling and nodding approvingly at people. Jesus had gotten the ball rolling in this stone soup version of the gospel story, and after that, all he had to do was watch. I want the Jesus who wows, not the Jesus who only teaches and inspires. There's nothing supernatural about the stone soup version of John chapter 6. Or is there? Think about this. We are creatures oriented towards self-preservation and not towards self-sacrifice. It is our nature to create binaries, to draw lines, to build walls where God never intended for them to be. We are us and they are them, and that's the way things are. Amen. Now, we may be willing to risk some altruism for the sake of those who most closely share our DNA, or for some highly noble cause that inexplicably calls us out of ourselves. But this willingness to risk self-sacrifice only comes after we transcend our very natural instincts toward self-preservation. And self-preservation in itself is not a bad thing. It keeps us out of foolish danger and guards the precious life that God has given us. But there is a shadow side to this self-preservation. It's the perversion called self-centeredness, or what the theologians call incurvatus in se, turned in on ourselves, yes, even on our own souls. At its most grotesque, it means putting ourselves at the center of the universe esteeming ourselves above all else, in effect the idolatry of idolatry, worship of ourselves, making gods of ourselves. This is the kind of sin that at its worst doesn't just say me first, but me only, and to hell with the rest of you. It's the mindset that says it is okay for the 26 most wealthy people on this planet to control as much wealth as the poorest half of humanity. And it's a religion that says it's okay to compete, to be the first billionaire in space, reaching up into the heavens just as surely as the people did from Babel those many years ago, to make names for themselves, or for the fun of it, or for the imagined glory of it, while millions of people created in God's image go to bed every night without even a fragment of a barley loaf in their tummy. This spiritual sickness is not confined to the wealthy. We all have it to some degree. It's our nature. It is natural to hoard and not to share. As we imagine an economy where there will never be enough, we keep our backpacks closed up tight. But the truth is, with God, there is always enough and more than enough, and there is always enough for everyone's need, though never enough to satisfy greed. Jesus fed 5,000 souls with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And however that happened, it's a miracle. If Jesus multiplied the barley loaves just like the waiter at the Olive Garden with a bottomless basket of breadsticks, that's a miracle. And I have also come to believe that if Jesus inspired the crowd that day to open up their backpacks and share their provisions so that no one was left hungry, that is no ordinary thing. That is a miracle too. It is the Spirit of God giving the gift of generosity, even self-sacrificial generosity, a gift given then and a gift given again even to you today, to bless you and to make you a blessing to the world. That is not natural, but it is holy. Because that outward-focused love of neighbor, that generosity, that compassion, that is a sure sign that regardless of whether or how you call upon the divine, the Holy Spirit is working inside you. The one who reigns both within and beyond nature has claimed you. Here is the good news. Hear this good news. Wherever you see people building longer tables instead of higher walls, the reign of God is breaking through. Miracles are happening in the midst of the mundane. Prayer becomes action, and our actions are prayer. You are getting a glimpse of the feast to come. Heaven is touching earth. Natural and supernatural embrace, for both are from God. May it be so. May it be so for you.
Thank you. coming soon and very soon. I will wait, but won't pretend that she is here right now.
Just then, it's coming soon and very soon. It's coming soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. She's coming soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. She's coming soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. She's coming soon and
I For the planet and those who inhabit it, let us open our hearts in prayer, saying, God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Maker and lover, hear our prayers for creation. Maker and lover, heal and surprise. Preserve the waters. Quench dry earth. After the wildfire, begin again. God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Faithful friend, hear our prayers for this village. Faithful friend, encourage and delight. Bless this community. Strengthen its labors. Braid its life with the Colville and Yakima nations. God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Breath of life, hear our prayers for the world. Breath of life, refresh and renew. Defend displaced peoples, strengthen immigrants. Watch over workers of every shift. God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Rest for the weary, hear our prayers for healing. Rest for the weary, shelter and sustain. Ease labored breathing, soothe suffered minds, alleviate chronic pain. God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Heartbeat of creation, hear our grateful prayer. Heartbeat of creation, thanks and praise for bodies vulnerable and resilient, for ancestors known and yet to know, for this week and these traveling companions. God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. For what else do the people of God pray? God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Hear us, come near us, and guide us, O God, into the way of peace alongside Jesus Christ, in whose spirit we pray. Amen.
A powerful sign of community is sharing a brief wish of peace with our neighbors. A sign of honoring the divine image in the human right next to you, and a sign of reconciliation before we approach the holy feast. Be thoughtful of your own boundaries as well as your neighbor's boundaries. You are invited to share a greeting by shaking hands, offering a bow, embracing, or whatever level of physical engagement is right for you and welcomed by your neighbor. If your neighbor has their hands crossed over their chest, you may choose to return their blessing with a gesture of God's love, putting your hand over your heart and extending it back to your neighbor. They can respond in kind. May God's peace good fortune, and health be with you. Let us share the peace of Christ with one another.
As we prepare to gather around this holy table with thanksgiving, Jesus invites you and he gives himself to you. Please know that you, every one of you, are welcome here. The gifts of bread and wine are for all of us. You are invited to come forward. There's going to be two stations. Come to either one. The ushers are going to kind of be directing you, but feel free to go rogue if you need to. Then come with your hands. Oh, they're going to have hand sanitizer. We learned last week that if we put it right before the bread, your hands are kind of wet. So as you come out of your seated place, know that if you wish, that they have hand sanitizer for you. And then you'll walk around and then find your way. Bread and then gluten-free will be first, and then wine. Come with your hands open to receive the bread. Move forward to pick up a small pottery cup. Then you may receive wine from the larger pitcher. Know that we also have grape juice from the small pitcher. And if you want to participate, but communion is not part of your practice, please know that you are welcome to come forward. Again, you can cross your arms across your chest, and we would love Pastor Ann and I to give you blessings, because you are a blessing to us. That sounds like all of us, doesn't it? Oh, Daddy, Mommy, as we speak to God, right? Open your backpacks. It is time to come to the table. I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable, because now we get to pull out the naan, the pita, the corn tortilla, bring out the challah, the pão de queijo, and laughter erupts as new flavors fill our mouths. Amen. Receive the invitation of Jesus, the host of this meal. Pull up a seat. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to the living God. Praise is our joy and thanks our path. Led by your Spirit, all-loving God, we make the road by your grace alone in Jesus Christ. Our ancestors before us, our healer beside us, a compassionate stranger on the road ahead, all together we join in the everlasting song. blending our voices with the woman at the well, the Samaritan traveler, and the faithful multitude. Let's join in speaking these words together. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of the journey, all glory is yours. Sun, moon, and stars guide the way to your praise. Rivers and mountains, oceans and prairies, earth's many pathways rejoice in your love. Among your creatures, you called forth our ancestors, nomads and rooted ones. Bless your faithfulness. When ruthless armies exiled your people, your heart wept, your presence sustained. When a mighty empire resettled Samaria, your arms opened and your covenant grew. Kingdoms rise and dominions fall, but your reign of peace will have no end.
Amen.
In an occupied land, your spirit soared. On highways, Christ Jesus proclaimed your reign, and in Samaria, he offered living water. In the borderlands, he healed and affirmed. And from Galilee to Jerusalem, he shared bread and grace. And on the night before his execution, Jesus gathered his friends to celebrate the feast of their people's freedom. And he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. For meals and for mercy, for wholeness and hope, for the life of the Savior, we glorify you. Help us, we pray, to live out the mystery of faith. Please join with me as you feel comfortable. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Among these travelers and upon this feast, breathe your spirit and bestow your life. Strengthen us with this food and this drink, and accompany us on the journeys ahead. In each encounter, in each risky embrace, fill us with courage and wisdom and trust. One in the Spirit, nourished in Christ, praise yields to wonder and thanks, O God. You in the wilderness making a way, you on the lonely road, our help and our friend. Over our wounds, your blessing and balm. So let the traveler say amen.
Amen.
Jesus taught us all a prayer, and with his disciples on the road, let us pray as Jesus has taught us, in whatever version you feel, whatever language you feel most comfortable with. Our Creator, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done.
Hágase tu voluntad así en la tierra como en el cielo.
Pan nuestro de cada día, danos hoy. Perdónanos nuestras deudas,
como nosotros perdonamos a los deudores. Y no nos dejes caer en la tentación,
mas líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino,
el poder y la gloria, por los siglos de los siglos. Amén.
Amén. Before you, the great banquet, among you, the bread of life to share with all, no longer strangers. We feast as companions on the way. You may be seated. And ushers will come find you. Come forward as you feel ready.
Thank you.
God's people. The Lord bless you and keep you, dearly beloved. Take with you all the wonderful and imperfect parts of yourself. Take them with you. May your eyes be open to the unknown. May you walk upon deserts and mountains, and may you dip your feet in countless shores. May your mouth contain the shapes of strange words, and your soul be at home where you thought there would be no welcome. May the journey come to live within you, to the farthest reaches, and in coming home. Leave the village in peace. Thanks be to God.
One, two, three, four, one, two.